Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs.
Welcome to Our House. This is Jonathan Orlow sitting in for Peter Hunt. This show is brought to you by HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Greater Albany, Utica, Watertown, and Phoenix, Arizona. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work for you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants. Ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to you to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. Call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700. Check out our low-rate guarantee, certain restrictions apply, and details are on our website, www.huntmortgage.com. Also, don't forget, our first-ever 24/7, 365-day-per-year real estate hotline. The Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, Watertown, and yes, even Phoenix, Arizona. Simply dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want, and you'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property. All automatically and just that fast, anytime, in any market we serve, on any listing, whether it's ours or another broker's. We are in the fall market right now, and there still is a shortage for the number of available homes in many Western New York neighborhoods. We have a lot of well-qualified, active buyers looking for homes in neighborhoods all across Western New York. If you or anyone you know is thinking of selling or buying, now is the time. At Hunt Real Estate, you can list your home for free. That's right, any Hunt agent can work with you to aggressively market your home for sale to every buyer with no out-of-pocket expense to you. So if you're thinking it's a little bit chilly today and you want to test the market and see if you can sell your house and move to Florida this winter, it's not too late. Give us a call. As a seller, you only pay a commission if Hunt is successful in finding a buyer who's ready, willing, and able to purchase your home. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. Our house is broadcasted live on WBEN 930 AM. For those of you who want to participate in today's show, if you have any questions or comments about any aspect of real estate, call us in the studio, 803-0930, 1-800-616-9236, or the easiest way to get a hold of us is to dial *930. That's simple, *930. They're all free calls, so join us on the air at Our House. We have a very special show for you today. My guest is Rob Blake.
Good morning,
Rob.
Jonathan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. A little chilly this morning, eh?
It is. We have a little bit of snow mixed in with the leaves in Orchard Park, but
yeah,
it's beautiful than we did in the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
So at least we're not having to plow driveways or deal with anything like that
yet. Not quite yet. I know I have a lot of my clients have been coming up to me lately and saying, Rob, have we missed the market? It's getting so cold out. I know everyone thinks that the best time of the year to sell is usually the spring or summer market. So when winter rolls around, it's one of the first things that we typically hear is, have we missed that rush of people looking to buy a house? What do you typically tell people, Jonathan?
You know, I think if you have a good house, it can sell any time of year. If you have a home that's well staged, you've taken good care of it, any time of year, you could see multiple offers on that house. I think the homes that are sitting right now are the ones that are in subpar condition. They need a little bit of updates. They need some love. And, you know, they failed to sell over the summer, but it's a great time to get a huge discount on a house.
Absolutely. There has been a slight softening in the market, and depending on who you ask, it depends on how much of a softening they tend to see. Properties are still selling very quickly. We are getting multiple offers still. We are still have a real demand for homes to sell. However, I have seen a slight slowdown. Have you seen something similar over the past few weeks, few months?
Absolutely. You know, just in the past month, there's houses that I think are so undervalued compared to the spring, and they're sitting on the market. We have motivated sellers that mm-hmm. want to get rid of their houses. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of buyer hesitation. People got turned off over the summer with the activity, and this is the best time for a buyer to enter the market.
Absolutely. I've seen a lot of frustration from a lot of my clientele looking to purchase a home, and I completely understand it, but I try and tell them, just hold on. Just keep a positive outlook on your approach to this, because there will never there will always be more houses out there. There will always be another house coming on the market. If you give up on your search, you're guaranteed not to find that one. But as the weather does cool down, you can capitalize on that. A lot of the buyers that are out there, they tend to lose interest. They got burned out over the summer, the holidays are coming. If you're looking to buy a house, now is the time to capitalize on that, to strike now, because there's going to be fewer buyers out there looking, less competition. You're more likely to have your offer accepted. Even if it may not have been the strongest offer when you're competing against four or five people, maybe there's only one or two. Maybe you're the only one at the table and you're getting it for under asking value at that point. So just because the weather cools down, don't be afraid to go outside and look at some houses.
You know, I think in the summer, the buyers were conditioned. They would see a new listing and they would wait to see if showings were going to be held off, if there were going to be multiple offers. And buyers were just conditioned, how many offers are there going to be on this house? And now we have listings that are coming in where there's no offers.
That's right. That's right.
There's zero competition. And I think, you know, people have just been conditioned such a way that they don't realize what a great opportunity we have in the fall.
So part of our job when we list a home for a seller is to stay in communication with that person, is to provide them feedback, let them know what people are saying. So I've had two properties in the past month and a half, beautiful homes. They're priced very well. We had open houses, lots of people coming through the houses. Everyone tells us, oh, they're beautiful. This is going to sell in 5 minutes. We're going to have a bunch of offers on it. And they got afraid. Those buyers who loved that house, who wanted to put an offer in, said, you know what? I don't want to find myself competing. I don't want to pay 15 or 20 over asking like I've been hearing what's going on. So they decide not to submit an offer. And I had two properties, as I mentioned, where multiple people said they're putting in offers. Agents were calling me saying they're registering offers. We say, okay, we give a day and a time. Please have it in by this time. That day and time comes and goes. I call the agents. Oh no, they didn't want to compete. They didn't want to find themselves paying over. And then no one comes in and the house is there still. So as a buyer looking at something like that, you're guaranteed to not get it if you don't submit that offer. So at least take a stab at it, because you just don't know. Two houses, beautiful, good houses, great neighborhoods that were on the market, one of which we had to reduce the price. And then it did sell for a little under that reduced price. So the person who bought that got a smoking deal on it, because the rest of the people that were out there said, I didn't want to get into that competitive situation.
You know, I think one of the things that we have to look at is, you know, again, sellers who are putting their houses for sale now, they need to have them in prime condition, You know, really having them scrubbed down and cleaned. We just had a house where it was listed with another broker for 3 months. We took on the listing. We had someone come in and spend 8 hours cleaning the house.
Wow.
Made it immaculate. We relisted the house a little bit less than the other broker and sold it in 3 days.
That's great.
When it sat on the market for 3 months prior.
That's great. That leads me to a great point. I have people out there who are either investors looking to flip houses, or people who are prepping their houses to sell, and it takes them longer than they anticipated, which is very, very common. You want to be done by this day, and then weeks go by after that. And they have a tendency to rush it right beforehand. So I tell them, just wait the extra week. If it takes you the extra week to get this last little job done, to get the shoe molding done around the base trim, and to the touch-up paint in that master bathroom, that kind of stuff, just do it now, because you only get one opportunity to be on the market for the first time. And I can't tell you the number of people I've spoken with that said, well, let's just get it on. I want to get it out there. I don't want to miss the end of the summer season. Or I don't want to go into where the snow starts flying. I want to get it on now. And they jump the gun. And those photos show those little imperfections. And as people start walking through the door, they notice those things. And although they're somewhat minor, it does have a psychological impact on how the house feels to you. Because at the end of the day, I've said it a million times, it doesn't matter how great the plumbing is or how great the electrical is. It's how does this house feel to me? Does this feel good to a buyer when they walk in? Can they call this place home? Because if they can't, they don't get that feeling, everything else doesn't matter. And those little tiny touches, the flowers sitting on the table when they first walk in, a nice smell in the air of something baking, those are the kinds of things that makes that emotional connection to say, I love this home. I want this to be my home. I want to live here. If anyone out there has found themselves in a multiple offer situation where they've gotten a house or lost on the house, we'd love to hear your story. Please call in at 803-0930. We'd love to talk to you.
So, Rob, one of the things that you brought up that I think is interesting is flippers. You know, we have a lot of people in Western New York who watch HGTV. They hear about people all over the country that are making huge profits flipping houses. And Buffalo's a great market to do that.
Absolutely.
What's your take on the market for flippers right now? What advice would you give to someone who wants to make their first real estate investment?
I'd say just be really smart about your approach to it. Depending on the neighborhood you're looking to purchase, it's going to dramatically impact how much you want to do to that home. Some of these houses you can go into and it's literally clean out, get a lot of the junk that might be inside of the house out, some fresh paint, maybe pull the carpet up. You might not even have to finish those floors. They might be beautiful underneath the carpet, just a little sprucing. But if you're in a neighborhood where it commands a very high sale price, those are the houses that you may want to say, I'm going to rip out this kitchen. I'm going to put the granite and the custom cabinetry in. It's going to be from depending on the market you're in. And that means bringing in an expert, bringing in an agent who knows that particular market, who knows that area, who can tell you high end, this is what I can justify for a sale price per square foot, the maximum sale price. This is the mid-range. And then you kind of work your little math formula. What was my acquisition cost? What's it going to cost to fix this up? What's it going to be worth if I do this and this? How much more would it be worth if I do X, Y, and Z? So it's a matter of having a conversation with your agent and then knowing your own numbers and kind of putting that together and say, what's it worth to me to do this, this, and this?
That's great. We have a call from Larry. Good morning, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Are you with us?
Put my house on the market. I live in South Buffalo, but with the weather and that now, I don't know if this is a good time of the year to put the house on the market or would draw like a better price if I wait till after the winter.
Well, it's a great question, Larry, and thank you so much for calling. And it's something that we hear every single year, especially around this time. When should we put the house on the market? Should we wait? This time of year is a great time for sellers because the vast majority of people are like you. They're not sure if it's the right time to put their house in the market. They want to wait. They want to finish the little paint around the trim. They want to fix up these little things. So they're going to put it off until April or May or June. So what does that mean to you, Larry? It means that there's less competition. So in a neighborhood where come June, there might be 12, 13, 14 houses on the market. Right now, there might be two or three. So even if your house isn't perfect, isn't ready, isn't showroom perfect, it'll still present better than maybe some of the other competition that's out there because there just isn't as much of that competition. So keeping in touch with your agent and taking that into account when you price the home is going to be the key to getting a quick sale. And you could actually get, you know, multiple offers this time of year. It's not uncommon as long as the house is priced appropriately. And again, we have less people that we're competing against.
That's something to think about, I guess.
Okay. Well, Larry, if you want some more information, you're welcome to call me off air. My personal cell is 716-225-6273. Please feel free to call me. I'd be happy to talk to you further about your home in South Buffalo, Larry.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Larry. So, Rob, one of the things that I hear a lot of our customers ask us when they're thinking about listing their home this time of year, they say, can I decorate my house for the holidays?
Yeah.
Is that going to hurt it with selling the house? What are your thoughts on that?
I like decorating. I try to keep it non-denominational, if you kind of get what I'm saying. The holidays does I think it brings out a sense of warmth, a sense of home. So when people are putting their house on the holidays, we typically see the decor come out. We have different smells, cinnamons and things like that in the air. So when people walk into the home, they actually get that feeling of home because a lot of us have grown up in that type of environment. So summertime is great, but the wintertime and the fall, we get a lot of things that we don't typically get in the summertime, where you're getting memories of get-togethers and Thanksgivings and things like that. So I like it. I think it's a great time of year. Plus, as the snow starts to fly, sometimes people haven't gotten around to getting the landscaping done or trim the hedges as you know, often as they should have. When the snow falls, it gives you that nice blanket of snow, kind of covers up some of those things on the lawn, what makes the house present a little better than it would have if they put it on before the snow had fallen.
I think when we look at the nostalgia of the holidays, you know, the decorations, being around friends and family, we get a lot of people that are coming back to visit Buffalo and they're nostalgic and they think, you know what, I want to move back here. I want to make a move. Now's the time. I'm sitting here with my family and people are driving around. They're seeing houses and neighborhoods that they used to live in.
Yeah, yeah.
And we see people make buying decisions and say, we're going to cut the cord. We're going to make the move right now.
Yeah. I would advise not to overdo it, though, sometimes. And that's coming from a guy who has the tendency to overdo it himself around the holidays. But we want people to look at the home. We want to see the actual house. We don't want them looking at a tremendous amount of things where they're being distracted by too much stuff happening. And that goes for any time of the year, I guess, right?
You don't want to have a yard full of those inflatable decorations where people can't navigate.
If you're going to sell. If you're not selling, go crazy. But if you're thinking about selling, I would try and depersonalize a little bit on that. Yeah.
Dial it back. You know, it's just that first impression with houses, and I was thinking of a new listing that I was looking at in Orchard Park yesterday, and all of the beds were unmade in the pictures. It's a great priced house, and it just really showed me, I thought, this house is dirty. You know, it just doesn't look very clean.
And the house could be spotless, could be a perfectly beautiful home, but you look at those photos, and I think the same thing we've looked at. We looked at thousands, if not millions, of property photos throughout our careers, and we've seen just about everything. And you wonder, why would they take a photo of this? Why would they put this in there? Why wouldn't they make the bed? Why is the dog laying on the bed in this photo? So we have to be mindful of how those photos are going to be perceived by potential purchasers. So when you're thinking about selling, calling in an expert, talking to someone who can give you that guidance on how to stage the house. Perfect case in point, your countertops. Whether you have a ton of counter space or hardly any, you want to highlight what you have. So removing everything but one appliance, a coffee maker, something small, not a giant toaster oven, not a big microwave. Taking all that kind of stuff off before you take photos, before people walk in, will give the kitchen a cleaner look. You're used to living in the home, so you see this stuff there every day. It doesn't appear congested or cluttered to you, but from a person who's never seen it before's vantage point, it doesn't appear as well as it could if those counters are clean, wiped down, and only have one thing on it.
You know, I think that's really great advice, and that's why our consumers out there should be looking and interviewing real estate agents to find the person that has the highest skill level that can yield them the biggest price for their house.
Absolutely. Talk to multiple agents. Talk to two or three people. And one of the things we're going to come across is the commission. That's one of the first questions we hear when we go on an appointment to meet with someone who's thinking about selling their home. They'll ultimately ask, well, what do you charge? What do you charge? Now, Jonathan, we know that there's plenty of companies out there that will do cut rate commissions. They'll slash it. We have people who offer a dollar for the commission to the other side. What's your take on that? What do you tell people when they say, well, what's the commission? What do you charge?
You know, I discuss what our standard rate is at Hunt Real Estate with the consumer one-on-one, and I talk about the services that we have, and I tell people with the dawn of the internet, people can list their house for next to nothing for a commission rate. Mm-hmm. But when someone's hiring a Hunt agent and somebody who's full-time, skilled, with experience in the market, the commission that we charge is very well worth it because we're helping people stage the house. We're paying for professional photography. We're making sure that every little nuance is taken care of with the house, and we're not going to present it in a way that's going to look bad or it's going to hurt the seller.
Not only that, we get more money for the people who are selling their home. So for someone selling their house on their own statistically is going to net less than if they were to hire a professional. I tell the sellers, put the onus on me. Make sure if you're thinking about selling your house, you tell your agent that you're expecting them to get more for the house that you would have gotten on your own. It's our responsibility not only to just open the door and put a sign in the front lawn, but it's to present the house better. It's to guide you throughout the process. It's to ensure that you're going to get more people to see your house. You're going to get more offers on your house, i.e. you're going to make more money. We have to justify what we do. We're charging a lot of money for our service. I want to get you at least what I'm charging you back, and then some. So if I can get you the commission that back in your purchase price and more money on top of that, and we do all the work, we make it easier for you, why would you not call someone? But the key to that is calling the right person. So talk to two or three people. Talk to people who are seasoned, who know your neighborhood, and be prepared to ask them the questions and make sure you're getting the answers that you want to hear. It's great when I have a client that I sit down with who's done their research, and they'll have 6, 7, 8 questions on deck to ask me when I sit down and they interview me. And that's what you should be doing, because at the end of the day, you are our boss. We work for you, so we should be able to answer those questions. We should be able to tell you what we're going to do that you wouldn't have done on your own to guarantee your house sells faster and for more money.
You know, it's all about getting the most exposure for the house, and one of the ways that we get exposure for our listings is being here on the radio show. Rob, you've got a great open house today on a steal of a home in Orchard Park. Can
yeah,
you tell 20, us about it?
24 Burbank. It's a beautiful home. The people have put a brand new fence in the backyard, a huge backyard with a deck. It's got first floor full bath, second floor full bath, three beds. It's a beautiful home with a finished basement being held open today. Please stop in and see my buyer specialist, Melissa Tropp. She's incredible. She'll show you the home. She'll take good care of you. And it's not too far from one you have also in Orchard Park, correct?
Yes, I'm going to be at 85 Independence with Sam DeFranks today from 1 to 3 p.m. Great house. Talk about a deal. The house is $239,900. It's an 1,800 square foot ranch. It's actually a huge advantage, the smallest house in the neighborhood. All the houses on the street, they're about 2,500 to 3,500 square feet. This is a ranch, so you're surrounded by homes in the 350s and 400s at only $239.99.
The rising tide raises all ships, right? So that makes that house that much better, correct?
It's a great place to be. In the spring market, this house would have been gone, so come see me at 85 Independence today from 1 to 3 in Orchard Park.
And speaking of open houses, even if a house isn't exactly what you're looking for, I tell my clientele, if a house comes on in a neighborhood that you're looking to live, go check out the open. Even if you say, I don't want ranches or I don't want a colonial or whatever it might be, you see a house come on, take a look at it. See what other people are paying for. Why are they listing this house for $10,000 more than the one across the street? What does this house have or this house not have that this one? So it's basically educating yourself as a consumer, walking through the homes. And if you're not with your agent, if you're just kind of going out on your own looking, take some photos of things while you're there if you have questions. My own clients will ask me, Rob, I was in the basement. I saw this pipe or I saw this thing on the side of the furnace. What is it? I tell them, take a picture, send it over to me so I can help educate them on that as well.
I think the more that people can familiarize themselves with the market, seeing different houses, the more power that they're going to have and
Absolutely.
The more knowledge.
Absolutely. And this time of year, we've talked about winter and selling your house and buying a house. One of the things you want to take into account here in Buffalo, which we forget about this time of year, is things like air conditioning units and pools, things that people put a lot of value on in the summertime that they kind of don't think about when it's getting a little bit cooler out. We have other things on our mind, but those are huge ticket items. They're very expensive. So as a buyer, you're going to buy a house. How do you know the AC works if it's the middle of January? If it's 10 degrees outside, how can you test the AC? The answer is you can't. So what do? We have to escrow funds, and it's one of those things that can sometimes get overlooked. So when you're looking at a house that has a pool or has an air conditioning system or a septic system this time of year, the seller has to be mindful. Hey, the buyer might be asking to hold on to $2, $3, $10, $15,000 that I'm not going to see back until maybe April or May when it gets a little warmer out, and then they can finish doing the test on those kinds of things.
You know what? That's great advice for anybody who's looking at houses. They're hesitant about the pool. A lot of pools are shut down now. But buyers can have peace of mind that when they go into the spring to open up that pool, if there's an issue, there can be funds to take care of any problems.
Yeah, and I've run into it before where the attorneys even had forgotten to ask for these things in advance, and people are scrambling right before closing to think of this. Again, why you should talk to a professional before you go to list or buy a house. Having someone involved out there in the field who knows a transaction is imperative. If you've had any stories about, good or bad, about buying or selling a house, we'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call at 803-0930.
We're going to be taking a quick break. We'll be back with more messages from Our House to Yours shortly.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Jonathan Orlow sitting in for Peter Hunt. Our House is brought to you by HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is easier for your homeownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place for a complete inventory of homes in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, and Syracuse. You'll also find access to a set of homeownership services at HuntRealEstate.com. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA, in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Watertown, and Phoenix, Arizona. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. For more information about our exclusive mortgage program that allows you to roll in the cost of all home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to buy the before and live the after, you can call 633-3700 and ask for details. I'm in the studio today with Rob Blake. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Jonathan. Looks like we have a caller on right now. Eric.
Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, good. What can we do for you, sir?
Excellent. Rob, I have several rental properties in downtown Buffalo and Allentown-Elmwood area, and I was recently approached by a potential tenant looking to lease to own. And I haven't looked at that in the past, and I was wondering if you had any advice on it.
Well, I've had quite a bit of experience with it. The number one thing I can give a piece of advice to anybody who has been approached for a lease to own or thinking about selling a house but having potentially rented out is making sure you're getting an attorney involved right from the very get-go and making sure that all parties that are involved understand what's happening. What basically happens is you, as the seller, act as the bank. You hold the note on it. And there's a couple of different ways that you can structure this. But typically what would happen is if that person who's renting the space out is unable to complete the payments or is unable to make the balloon payment, because oftentimes what we'll do is, okay, we're going to hold the note for a year or 3 years or 5 years, and we can amortize that, basically make it so that their payment would be as if they had the loan for 30 years. So over the 5 years, they're not paying this outrageous amount, but at the end of that 5-year term, a balloon payment is due. So they have to make sure that either they have the cash or the financing in place ready to go at the end of that term. Now, in the event they do not, you as the homeowner have then the option to either renegotiate the terms if you so choose, or you have to begin foreclosure proceedings. That can be costly. That could be take a lot of time, because you can see how many foreclosed properties sit in the market. What banks deal with, you become the bank. You're the banker then. But back to how I started, the number one thing is getting an attorney involved who knows what they're doing, who've dealt with this before, is key to it. Have you spoken with an attorney yet, Eric, about doing something like this?
Yeah, only just a standard real estate attorney, but not somebody that specializes in this kind of agreement.
Yeah, if you'd like some more advice, I got a couple guys that I can refer over to you. One of the guys, an incredibly smart guy, actually works for a bank, has a lot of property in the city. Give me a call off air, my personal cell, 716-225-6273, and I'll say that again a couple more times before the show is over today.
That sounds great. Thanks for the advice.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in, Eric.
All right, take care.
So speaking of leases, right now, I do get a lot of calls from people who say, well, I'm thinking about renting a place. Do you work with renters? Do you work with homeowners looking to rent out space? And yeah, at Hunt, we do. We absolutely have lots of people who work with tenants and work with homeowners looking to rent out spaces. And as a matter of fact, I have quite a few on right now in the city and out in Amherst and other places throughout Erie County. So if you're interested, we'd be happy to talk to you about leasing a property. Give me a call, 716-225-6273. And again, we'd like to hear any stories or questions you have. You want to call on the radio station at 803-0930.
Rob, wanted to mention our open houses again, both of them in Orchard Park, happening today from 1 to 3. I'm going to be at 85 Independence Drive off South Freeman Road. Great location. The house is an 1,800-square-foot ranch, only $239.9, surrounded by homes in the mid to upper 300s and even into the 400s. This is the best deal in the neighborhood. When this neighborhood was built, they only built two ranches in the subdivision, and this is one of them. So it's a great entry-level point to live within a high-end community in Orchard Park. Rob, where are you at today?
We're going to be at 24 Burbank. We just reduced price on that one from $239.9 to $234.9. Again, Melissa Tropp, my buyer specialist, is going to be there today. Beautiful house. It's one really affordably priced, especially for the neighborhood that they're in. Great, great area. Huge yard. We're looking at $1,836 for our square footage. Like I said, two full bath, one on the first floor. Great layout, finished basement, two-car garage. Really, it's a great shape, beautiful house. Please come check it out today.
You know, great location, walking distance to the Village of Orchard Park, a lot happening there. You can walk to a couple shops, restaurants, grocery stores. So it's a very unique location, really great price.
Absolutely. I would like to talk a little bit about some older homes in the city. I know there's we had a broker's open a few days ago at the one at 69 Johnson Park, a big, beautiful old Victorian that's on right now. And if anybody who's got an affinity for older homes or can really appreciate craftsmanship and detail, hop online, take a look at 69 Johnson Park in the city of Buffalo. The gentleman who owns it did an incredible job maintaining and restoring this home. All the original paint colors from when the house was built in the mid-1800s. It's got working natural gas chandelier, working natural gas wall sconces, and it's filled with a lot of things that would be period correct for the time. The guy has loved the house for decades, has it on the market right now for $525, but really worth checking out if you have any interest. You know, give us a call, 716-225-6273.
Rob, for people who aren't familiar, where's Johnson Park?
Johnson Park is right outside of downtown. So, I mean, it's basically part of downtown, but like a little tiny park area that's right off of the city there. So you get this beautiful park that you overlook. There's not many houses. You have the theater right there on the corner. It's literally part of downtown. You could be on a thruway, the on-ramp within 2 minutes. You can, you're in Elmwood Village within 2 minutes. You're in Allentown in 2 minutes. It's really centrally located, phenomenal, and a great house.
You know, Johnson Park, it's one of my favorite areas in the city. A lot of people from the suburbs, they haven't been there to experience it, but it's walking distance to Chippewa.
Yep.
You can even take a quick bike ride to get to Canal Side.
Absolutely.
It's so accessible. And the house that you're talking about, it's one of the most beautiful historic homes that I've seen ever in my entire real estate career.
Thank you.
So these houses, you know, that we deal with in the city, for anybody who's thinking about making a move from the suburbs to the city, we see a lot of people doing that after their kids are raised.
And it's not just old, big old houses. Because I've had talked to people before, say, oh, geez, I love the city, I love what's happening, but yeah, I just don't want to take on these big old houses, these project houses kind of thing. Well, there's a lot of new construction that's happening in the city. There's a lot of beautiful high-end condos. There's properties that people, now investors, have realized, hey, this city is a hot market, and they're buying these houses, and they're gutting these houses. They're putting in all new electric, all new plumbing. They're updating. They're making them look modern in these old, beautiful neighborhoods. So you can get the best of both worlds. So if you're thinking about moving to this city, it's in your best interest. Talk to an agent. Talk to someone who knows property. Come take a look. See what's out there. You don't have to buy a fixer-upper. You can buy the finished product and be very happy for the next 20 years in a big old house that's just like a brand new one, if not better.
You know what, Rob? You bring up a really great point, and something we were talking about earlier were the flippers. We have a lot of people who are flipping houses in the Elmwood Village. They're redoing the houses with central air conditioning, garages, second floor laundry. You have all the amenities of a new build in an old home in the best neighborhoods in the city. So I think that there's a lot of advantages, and for people who want to flip, you know, if you want to come and invest money, come to the city and take an old house, make it brand new. That's where we see huge returns on investment.
Now, we've talked quite a bit about agents and talking to the right agent, interviewing multiple agents. Jonathan, you hire all the agents for the city office. They have to go through your screening process before they're actually welcomed into the Metropolitan office. What are the things that you look for in an agent? What advice can you give people who are thinking about potentially becoming an agent?
Anybody that I see that, you know, wants to get into real estate, I want to see that they have a natural interest in helping people and an interest in the real estate market.
That's great.
And the number one thing that I look at 30 seconds in when somebody walks through my door, I want to think, would a client feel comfortable around them? You know, is this somebody that people would like to be around, where they have a great personality? People don't have to have those hardcore sales skills.
Right.
I think it's just being able to talk with people, connect with people, and make them feel comfortable. We've got a caller on the line. We have Bob from Clarence. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah, hi. I want to ask some technicalities about putting an offer in. It seems that when I put an offer in, and if it's not what the realtor seems they want to put in, they don't really put the offer in. Is there some proof that the realtors actually put the offer in to the buyer? For example, if I see a house that's $500,000, I offer, say, 4.25. They say, oh, that's too low. They're not going to take it. How do I know they ever put that offer in? Should that be in writing somehow or some?
Well, first off, an agent should never tell a client that they're not going to submit an offer. I mentioned it at the top of the show here. You are our boss. So if one of our clients tells us, hey, I want to submit an offer, the house is listed for $500,000, I want to put an offer in for $100,000. Even though the agent might think it's laughable, they still have a fiduciary obligation to submit that offer and submit it with the way they would with another offer that was the full asking price. So they shouldn't submit it and say, oh, geez, I'm really sorry. I know this offer isn't that great. My client made me do this. You want an agent that's going to represent you no matter what. So they have to be looking out for your best interest. Now, in regards to the proof of the offer, you could ask for the agent to respond via email. Say the listing agent, and I do that whenever I submit an offer. I say, please respond to this email to acknowledge that you had no difficulty opening the attachment, which will be the contract of sale, proof of funds, those kinds of things. So if you want proof that the offer was submitted, you can just ask your agent, please submit it via email. Give me a receipt. Give me a copy from the listing agent saying that the offer was received and reviewed.
Okay, you're saying your agent, but what happens to me is I'll go to an open house and I'll see some of the realtors in the open house don't seem to be that assiduous, and I'll mention something, and there's other people walking around and so forth, and they don't seem to really take it very seriously because it's not the offer they want. I can see if you have your own private realtor, but if you go to an open house and you're there by yourself, what proof do you get?
Are you talking about submitting a verbal offer?
Well, that's how it starts.
So, that's part of the danger of doing things verbally. When I'm working with clientele, I get it on paper, because if you're just doing things verbally, you don't have any proof. You don't know if they made a phone call. So if you have it on paper, plus, Bob, one of the things when I tell my clientele is, when you're submitting an offer to a seller, it's one thing to tell them what it is, but if you can actually show them in black and white, here's the number, here are the terms, you know, take this into consideration, you're far more likely to have that offer accepted. And again, it goes back to that proof. Now you can say, hey, send me a receipt saying you received this and it was submitted.
So there's no formal form that is filled out. It just could be written in any way. There's no form that is official.
Correct. There is no formal form. It's an acknowledgement that we would get in writing through an email. That's most common what we practice.
So at the end now, if I'm at an open house and I'm interested in something, I tell the realtor who's showing the open house, I want to submit an offer of 4.25. What's the next step? Do they have to write something down, or do we have to?
I would stop you right there, Bob. I wouldn't tell the agent at the open house what your offer is going to be. I would either, if you want to talk to that agent, you're welcome to do so. If that agent happens to be the listing agent, I would advise you to get alternate representation and not go directly through the listing agent, because that listing agent has a fiduciary obligation to get as much money as they possibly can for the seller. And the commission for the buyer's agent is baked right into the purchase price. So if that house is listed by an agent, then they have to pay for your agent. So shop around, get an awesome buyer's agent that can negotiate on your behalf, that you trust, because that's the number one thing, and knows what they're doing. And then that person can guide you through the process, and they can guarantee that they can get you that receipt. They can put that offer where it's supposed to be, and they're the ones who can do all the follow-up for you. So there's no guesswork, no ambiguity, and you're not wondering, was my offer really considered? Was it really submitted? Because you know it will be if you have an agent.
Bureaucratic. If it's something I can do myself, just make the offer, why do I need somebody to represent me to make the offer?
A good example of that would be, I guess, you know, you could take out your own tonsils if you had a problem, but I'd rather pay somebody a few thousand dollars to do it. So because you want to get an expert, you want to get somebody who knows what they're doing to do it for you. There's lots of ways we can save money when you're going to invest in one of the most expensive things that most people ever buy. That's when I would say bring an expert in.
I understand you have an interest in it because you get a commission.
Of course, of course. But at the end of the day, it's we have an ethical obligation to look out for your best interest. Can you guarantee that the person representing you does that 100% of the time? No, but that's part of the reason why you want to talk to multiple people. When I represent buyers, my objective is the opposite of what it is for my sellers. When I represent the buyers, it's to try and get the house for as little money as I possibly can for that person. And the benefit to you is you're not paying anything. You're not losing any money. You're getting representation and it's free. And if we can get that house for you, put protection in place, you pay less, and then I get paid because of it. Usually the buyer's happy because they saved money, did less work, and they had representation. And they don't care if I get paid or not because they got a good deal.
You don't have any actual more power than I do in making that offer known to the buyer. What power do you have legally that I don't have?
No, nothing. I have no legal power. You're completely correct.
So that was my point. So the other realtor has, if you say, fiduciary obligation to present that offer. You have no legal power to make that happen.
But I think what it comes down to, Bob, is if you're putting the offer through the listing agent, they're going to present it a lot different way, especially if it's a lower offer under asking. A listing agent is going to go to the seller and said, I had somebody who came through an open house. They made a lower offer. You know, I think your house is worth the price. When you have a buyer's agent who's presenting the offer to the seller, you know, they're going to be explaining the reasons why it's lower and fighting on your behalf.
I understand that part of it. I'm just talking about the objective number. The number. There's some buyers that, you know, for example, one house I'm interested in has been on the market for like 150 days. And I have a feeling that if I made my offer the objective number to the buyer, they may be interested more than someone trying to talk them out of it. They've been waiting a long time. Anyways, I just want to know what the legality is. So there really is, you have no more legal power than I do to make the offer, and the other agent has to make that offer. I can insist they give it to me in writing, the proof that they made the offer.
You could.
Okay. So, I mean, what if they refuse her? They're not going to or whatever?
They can't. They can't. One of their fiduciaries is disclosure. So if they receive an offer, they're obligated to tell the seller, disclose to them that, hey, we have an offer on the table here. And then you have a right to ask them, hey, did you submit it? As far as proof goes, you can ask them for proof. And I don't see why they wouldn't at least get an email or an acknowledgement from the seller saying that they received the offer.
So they can refuse to give me proof that they've submitted the offer?
I don't think so. If they did, you could always go above them. You can go to a manager. You can always go to the Buffalo Niagara Association of Realtors, something along those lines. But I've never heard of an agent fighting to give proof. If an offer is submitted, they wouldn't. It has to be on paper, though. A verbal, I mean, how could we prove that?
I understand that. There's be a legal implication. Okay, because I've been having a hard time making offers, and I'll get a woman there and say, oh, well, no. And I know they never even submit the offer. So I just want to know they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
So
that's great. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We have another caller on the line. We have Dan from Orchard Park. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Dan.
Hi, guys. I don't think that gentleman understands. Bottom line is when you're submitting it and when you're walking into an open house, that agent's responsibility, just like you said, ethically, is to represent the buyer and get the most money. If you're making an offer to that person, they don't have to take you, if you come in with a ridiculous lowball offer, that listing agent's not going to take you seriously because that, especially if they know where the buyer or the seller's limit is on what they're trying to achieve. So he's wasting time if he's walking in and doing it. And if he thinks he's saving thousands of dollars, he's not, because what's bottom line is every house that he places a ridiculous offer to, he misses out on another opportunity. Eventually, it's going to cost him more money later on down the road when he does find the right house. So it's foolish to think that he's going to do it himself. When he said that comment on what power do you have over him, you guys have the knowledge. The agents have, the experience, and the agents are going to go and fight for him and represent him and get, roll up their sleeves and go to battle for him. He's better off just stepping back and just saying, look, I like this house, and work through his agent.
That's great, Dan. We really appreciate the comment, and I couldn't agree with you more on that.
So, yeah, and to parlay off that, Dan, being a primarily a listing agent, I do, I get calls and people will just say, hey, ask your seller if they'll take X. And it might be some ridiculously little thing. I'll still call the seller, but it doesn't carry any kind of weight with it. There's no proof of funds. There's no terms. I don't know what's happening. So I'll call, hey, some guy called in and offered, $50,000 under your ask. Do you want it? No, thanks. And now the guy will call back. I'll say, oh, thank you. They declined the offer. If you want to, put something on paper, we can present it for me. No, that's okay. Do I have proof that offer was presented? No, I just made a phone call to my client. That's what. But if an agent comes in, that same offer comes in from another agent on a contract, then we have the normal process here. So it's nothing legally I can't force anything. But if we have a paper trail, we can, and we have someone who's negotiating, that's obviously the buyer's best interest.
Yeah, and what it, what it comes down to, he's looking for proof. Well, the listing agent is not obligated to give proof to him. He doesn't have a contract with him. He doesn't have the agreement with him. The key is that listing agent most likely had a lot of private conversations with that seller and discussed what the, where they want to be, what the, these are the parameters we want to work with. We'd like to get X amount for the house, but we'll take this in the end. Those discussions, are made, and that agent who's working on behalf of the seller knows those details. So when that buyer comes up and tries to lowball him or comes up with an offer that's not ridiculous other than asking price, that agent has the right to say,
Yeah, and that's true because, our fiduciaries is confidentiality. So if you have a private conversation with the seller and the seller tells me flat out, listen, if someone comes in at this number, I don't want to even hear it, that might be one of their commands to me. Where out of obedience, I'd say, okay, so if an offer comes in below X, I'm not even going to tell you it came in. And they say, yeah, okay. That's a conversation that I had with my seller. So then that would absolve me of the disclosure fiduciaries, where I'd say, I don't have to disclose that your offer because it's below the threshold that my seller had told me they don't want to hear offers. So if you want something to be heard, put it on paper, make it over X, and it'll be presented. And especially having an agent represent you, that guarantees you're going to make sure your offer gets through the right way.
That's right. So what it comes down to is, in years and years, and about 20, for me, it's 26, 27 years ago when I went to the GBTA real estate course, and I never went into real estate, but I learned all this stuff way back when. What it all comes down to is hire an agent to work on your behalf. So that gentleman, I don't know what his name is, listen to what these guys are saying.
Well, Dan, thanks so much for the call. We really appreciate your advice.
Yes.
Have a great day.
See ya.
You know, I think one of the common misconceptions is that if people are going through the listing agent directly, that they're going to be saving money on
Absolutely.
The house.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I can say as a manager at Hunt Real Estate that if a buyer makes an offer through the listing agent, there's no savings. Our commission is exactly the same if the listing agent is procuring a deal or if it's another agent coming in. So for buyers who are out there in the market, they owe it to themselves to get exclusive representation, to look at things on their behalf.
Yeah, and just remember that that agent who's helping you, you know, I'm throwing up air quotes here, by their listing, their job is to get what they can for the sellers as much as they possibly can. And they'll be very helpful. They'll help you set up financing, they'll walk you through the process, they'll show you numbers how they can justify whatever you're going to put on paper, but you don't really have true representation. You know that person has signed an agency agreement with the seller. So therefore, they represent the seller. They're there to help you, but they're not your agent. And your agent will work and fight for you tooth and nail to make sure that you get the best deal possible, and they represent you and only you. So we don't take the agency lightly. When we represent somebody, it's the same as an attorney or as a doctor. We have to do what's in your best interest. We have to be obedient. We have to disclose. We have to keep things confidential. We're working for you.
And as far as, you know, if you're making an offer that's a little bit lower, you want to test the market, you look at a house that's been on the market for a long time, I think if somebody wants to place an offer out there, a little bit lower offer, put it in writing, show your proof of funds, if you're paying cash, if you're getting a mortgage on the house. Because as a listing agent, if somebody's taking the time to work with an agent and fill out our 13-page contract, I know they're serious at some level.
Right.
If they've taken the time to talk to a bank, they've ran their credit, they're showing a mortgage pre-qualification, there's something to work with there.
Yeah.
And we just had a deal. It was actually a listing of mine. The initial offer on the house was $190. It was listed for $225. And the seller freaked out. You know, the seller said, absolutely forget it. Mm-hmm. You should not even be bringing this offer to me. And I said, let's try to get these people up. You know, I talked with the buyer's agent. I mm-hmm. found out their situation. We were able to get them up from $190 to $224, $1,000 under asking price.
Wow.
When the seller said initially, don't even deal with it.
See, that's, I mean, right there. I mean, that's a phenomenal story. Initially, the seller agent could shoot that low ball offer down. And if you had a buyer's agent working on your behalf to get it up, you could actually still get that house.
We have another caller. We have Brian from Buffalo. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. What can we do for you, sir?
I just heard you guys talking about the realtor commissions. I was under the understanding that there was a buyer's commission and a seller's commission, right?
Correct.
For both agents. So if the listing agent does it, doesn't the listing agent get the buyer's commission and the seller's commission? Don't they get both of them?
Correct. So what we were referencing is that the commission that the seller is paying, their total expense,
is the same
because the agent is collecting both commissions that are available. The one they get as the listing agent and the one that's offered to a buyer's agent.
So the person who benefits in a situation like that the most is going to be the listing agent because they get paid double. The seller's going to pay the same amount. The agent's going to make twice the amount, and the buyer's not getting representation. So at the end of the day, if you're looking to buy a house, get a buyer's agent.
Okay. See now I think I'm guessing what the other guy was thinking when he was saying that he was going to go directly to the listing agent, trying to basically negotiate away the buyer's agent.
It's a possibility. It's something we come across often where they think they're going to get a better deal because of the fact that they might be able to reduce the commission. A, the agent has to be agreeable to that. And B, again, they might knock a little bit off to try and get the house to sell, but the buyer's still not getting the representation that they're supposed to get. So they're still paying more than they should.
Brian, we hate to cut you off. We're in our last seconds of the show. We just want to advise all of our listeners out there that our commission discussions, it's only for our commissions that we have in-house here at Hunt Real Estate. If you're thinking of selling or buying, connect with Rob Blake online. Rob, what is your phone number?
716-225-6273.
For more information, you can visit us on our website at www.huntrealestate.com.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you to all of our listeners out there today. And remember, when it comes to real estate in Western New York, it's Hunt Country.